Put your left hand on your forehead and lift your right hand to heaven. Say, Father God, I honor you. I ask you to help me renew my mind. Help me to think in it according to your word. Help me to talk from the thinking that you place by the word on the table of my heart. Be the master of my mind in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, chapter 9. And I believe that the Lord wants to do something. You know, don't be discouraged because there's not very many here. You're here. The Lord's here. But I think that you're here with a destiny and a purpose, because I think the Lord wants to touch us as a group of people in a way that we haven't been touched before. I think that He wants to help us to dream according to His Word, to think according to His Word, and to be in that place of expectancy. The Spirit of the Lord is, I was praying about this service and this week and thinking about it, and here's what He said. He said, I want my people to allow me by my Word and my Spirit to help them to terminate tiny thinking. Terminate. Stop. Put an end to tiny thinking. And because, you know, we talk about it all the time. The Bible says, as a man, a woman, a boy, a girl thinks in their heart, so are they. You and I will never go any farther in life. That's Proverbs 23:7. We'll never go any farther than what we believe. And so, I want us to just by the Spirit of God, to hear some things this morning that will just kind of like be opening the shade of the prophetic in our life. Just like you go and you open your curtain or your shade in the morning and let the sun rays shine in. I'm believing that the Spirit of God is going to enlighten us and show us some things that we hadn't saw before. Amen? All right, 1 Samuel chapter 9. For sake of time, we're going to cover a lot of this, but we're just going to read one verse for a text. Let's read verse 21. 1 Samuel 9:21. We'll read this for a text, but we're going to be all in here. If you're there, say amen. This is Saul answering Samuel, the prophet. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family's the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore, then speakest thou to me? Now notice what his mindset was about. He's of the smallest tribe, and his family is the smallest in the tribe. So think about his mindset. And let me read it one more time. And Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Oh. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Corey. Thank you so much once again for being here. All right, so to be able to do the task that the Lord has for His last day church to accomplish, to bring in the harvest, you and I have got to be in a place where we recognize, just as we talked about last week and where Brother Corey mentioned it this morning, in our weaknesses, by the grace of God, is the strength of the Lord perfected in our life. And so we've got to change the way that we think about things. We've got to stop making decisions according to our own ability or our own possession. Because, you know, we make decisions according to what we think we can do and be successful at. We sow into things, we give into things, we work toward things according to what we think that we can take care of. But we've got to get a mentality and a mindset that God, like he was calling Saul here out of his family to be the first king of Israel, the Lord is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling his children, his blood-bought, blood-washed believers into something they've never stepped in before. They've never been this way before. We have never been this way. And just as Joshua led the children of Israel over the River Jordan, he told them, said, listen, you watch the priests. And when the priests step in the water, he said, you watch and you follow in like manner because you've never been that way before. So we look at the great high priest, Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, and he's going to lead us where he would have us to go, and you're going to be successful. Amen? That's a promise. But we've got to address some things in our life, because do you realize that you can be called of God? You can have a prophetic word spoke over your life. You can have the anointing that comes from that word, but you can have the anointing that goes with that call, and you cannot be successful. And so that's why we're looking at this. Our success is not because God said so. Our success is because we believe God said so, to the point that we act upon it. We work in it. That's why Brother Corey was talking this morning about what James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, that, you know, if you truly believe something, if you have faith, you will work that faith. You'll put it into operation. Amen? And so here Saul is. Let's jump back now to the first of this chapter and let's get some context, because the Lord wants to help us to see why we do certain things. That's why we're studying in Sunday school class what Brother Corey's teaching, and it's blessing me tremendously. But let's jump back to the first verse, 1 Samuel 9:1. Let's get the context of what's happening here. It says, now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abial, the son of Zeor, the son of Bechorath, the son of Apath, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Now notice, first of all, let's just concentrate on Saul's dad, Kish. So here Kish is. This is a family that is very powerful. Now they're not powerful in the sense of materialism and finance. They're powerful because, in all honesty, they're a very gruff and rough family. Okay? And actually had a reputation of being forceful in getting what they wanted in the way that they wanted it. So that's tradition and that's history. But here, let's understand some things about Saul. Now Saul he's fixing to get a call on his life. And as this call is coming upon his life, it's the same way with you and I. Our past and our bloodline and the heritage of our life, if we don't come into the realization that the blood of Jesus washes all of those things away, and we don't let Galatians 3:13, the redemptive plan of God, cut all of our heritage of the past off of us, it will continually affect us. It will have an impact on our lives. Now, Kish here, his name is interesting. It means to be bent like a bow. And so I want you to see here. Remember, we've been talking about on Wednesday nights on Bible study, one of the things that gets in a bloodline when sin moves to transgression, and transgression moves to trespass, and finally to iniquity. Iniquity means to be bent, means to be twisted and have a tendency to go a certain way. So here we see this call that is coming upon Saul's life, and we see that his dad had a tendency to be bent a certain direction, and so that had an impact upon Saul. Now we'll understand this as we go through here. So let's look, verse number 2. And Kish, he had a son, he had Saul, whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the Notice verse number 3. And the asses, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise and go seek the asses. Go find the donkeys. Now, as a side note, what I want to get in your heart, in my heart this morning, that God says everything, the Spirit of God spoke so clear, everything about your life is going to be a decision of moments. Now, you got to know that God wants to be a part. He wants to be a part of my, of your, every part of our life. And so we can have, and we'll document this as we go through this, you can have a mundane moment, or you can have a monumental moment. And it all depends on your attitude, my attitude. It all depends on whether we recognize the Lord in that. Now, God, He visits the people who are busy. The more, you know, because the more busy you are, have you noticed how much more that God comes to you? He, because why? Because God knows if you're busy that you're what? You're active in things. And you have a mindset to get some things done. And so this is what God does. He moves in the moment. But I want you to see here, Saul's life is fixing to have an opportunity to be forever changed just because he's going out and looking for some donkeys. So your life, it doesn't matter how boring certain things about it is, how insignificant some things seem. I want you to know that in those moments, that's when the greatest possibility, the greatest probability that the promise of God will show up in your life. And so here Saul is. And it says in verse number 4 that he goes on this journey. Now notice this. He passed through Ephraim. Ephraim means double fruit. And he passed through the land of Shalisha. It means to increase. And then, and they found him not. And then they passed through the land of Shalem. Shalem means, forces, you know, and they were not there. And then they passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. Now see, as you're going through life and you know that you're headed somewhere, you're going somewhere, sometimes the further you get to the promise of God, the more barren it looks. When you first start something, you know that God's here. This is up to, God's up to something. Something's happening. But, and God does that. But then as you walk further and closer to getting into the place where you hear His word and His call, you're doing it by faith. And that's why this journey I admonish you to study the towns that He went through here and see how this played out in Saul's life. And so don't give up. If you're in a place now where it looks dry and barren, if you're a place where you feel like you're all alone, if you're in a place where you feel like that God's left you, then if you're following that what God's told you to do, it doesn't matter what it looks like, you're fixing to come into that place. You're fixing to get the word that you need to hear this morning. Amen. You're fixing to get to that place of everything coming into the perfect timing of the Lord. Verse number 5. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, honeycomb. There's honey in the rock for you and I. Amen. Come on, honeycomb. He's coming into that place where the word. Remember in Revelation chapter 10, for an example, John, the beloved, he went and took the word from the angel as the Lord commanded. And when he did, it was what? It was sweet in his mouth. So there's a word that's fixing to come in this land of Zuph to Saul, and it's gonna change his whole focus about his life. It's gonna give him a destiny. It's gonna change everything about him. This morning, I want you and I to get out of small thinking, out of tiny thinking. I want us to get into the place and the position that it doesn't matter. Somebody needs to hear this. It doesn't matter where you're at in society. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God has a call on your life. He has a plan for you. He has a will for you. And all of those things about your life, they don't determine whether you can be successful or not. The determining factor of you being successful is our obedience to what thus saith the Lord. Amen. I want you to get out of what the mindset of what the world says. The world says you can't do this. You don't have the influence. You don't have the time. You don't have the health. You don't have the opportunity. No, those are lies. Amen. Because when God calls you, He makes all things possible. Glory. Come on now, we've got to believe that this morning. And when they were come to the land of Zoph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, "Come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses, for the donkeys, and take thought for us." And he said unto him, verse 6, "Behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way which we should go." Now, we've got to be in the place where we honor the word. We've got to know where we're feeding from, what table we're feeding from. And when we know that we're feeding from the table of the Lord, we need to say, "God, I know this is the way and I'm going to walk in it." And when we do that, we've made a commitment. And when we made a commitment with God, all the faithfulness of the Lord comes into our life. Because God's committed to us. But when he sees that we're committed to what he says, all of a sudden there is an adjoining, there is a yoke, there is a coming together that makes the things in heaven possible here on earth. All right. Now, we could go through all of this, but we don't have time. So I want you to see, though, that how he's trying to get to that place in the mundane of life. So drop down to verse number 11. Saul and his servant, they're trying to find what they're looking for. And there's a lot of people this morning, they're on a journey, they're trying to find the Lord that they're looking for. And this is your role, this is my role. Verse number 11, I want to mark it down in your Bible and put my role. Write your name beside it because this is your role. And they went up to the hill to the city. And remember, Brother Corey's been on his heart so much, Matthew 5:14. You and I, we are a city that is set on a hill. Come on now. That's who we are. And that's a prophetic word for you. That means that your light, it's shining out and it's reaching people that you don't even know it's looking. It's working. It's working. Okay, and so they went up to this hill to the city and they found young maidens who were going to draw out water. Now, we know that quote unquote old terminology, women's work, right? But you and I, we're the bride of Christ. We've been betrothed to the Lord. Amen. And so I want you to see that when you got born again, the Holy Spirit come in your spirit and you drawed from the well of salvation. And when you got, to the point of being immersed and giving everything over to the Holy Spirit, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. And so here you are. You're in a place and a position set where the light of the Lord is shining in you and through you, and you're ready to give somebody their calling. But see, if you have tiny thinking, if you don't terminate that, you don't think what you know, you don't think what you can do, you don't think where God has placed you and called you, that it matters. That's a lie. That's a lie. You've got to see that. And so your role this morning is to see that you are the very bride of Christ. You are in the place and the position to give a word. Look what they said. As they found the young maidens going to draw water, and they said to them, "Is the seer here?" Verse number 12. And they answered them and said, "He is." There are going to be people who are going to come to you and they're going to ask you questions about Jesus. Is this true about Jesus? Does Jesus really do this? And you're going to say, "He does. He's here. He's here because he's in you." Amen? That's the word. That's the word. And so the word is, it's going to go in and it's going to impact people's lives. It's going to change them. "He is, behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he come today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today at the high place." So anyway, in other words, they led him in the direction that he should go. Now, I drop down to verse 15. Verse 15 for sake of time. This is how the Lord works. The Lord works through his betrothed, through his church, but then he's got priests, he's got prophets, and he's bringing revelation and unction, and everybody's working together where the will and the plan of the Lord can come to pass. There's no big eyes, no little U's. It's only a giant Jesus and you and I walking in him. Now, the Lord had told Samuel, this is the prophet, Samuel, in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people. In other words, to be the first king, that he may, mark that down, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, and because their cry is come unto me. See, we don't know how important that witness that you and I are giving, that smile that we're giving, that hug that we're giving, that whatever the move of the Spirit on our life to give, we don't know how important it is, because we don't know what God has destined for that person. You know, we've all heard the testimony about the usher that was working the tent revival, and Billy Graham come in that night under conviction. Just a young man, and he couldn't find a seat, and so he walked out of the tent, and that usher went and said, listen, if I'll find you a seat, will you come back in? And he said, yes. And so the usher got him by the hand, led him back in there, found him a seat. That night he got saved. Now think about a man that lived 100 years and had a ministry of what, 70 years. What a difference one person made. That's you. That you terminate tiny thinking. God needs you. He saved you, and you're still got breath in your body. You still got a call on your life. You still got a destiny to walk out, and you can do all things because of the strength of Jesus. Amen? You've got to see it. I've got to see it. We've got to believe that it's greater. It's bigger than us. All right. And then where was I at? And Samuel saw Saul, and the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, the same shall reign over my people. Verse number 18. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. Now, I find this pretty ironic that he didn't know Saul. Now, Saul didn't know Samuel. Now, we got to understand, if I put a picture up here of Billy Graham, everybody in this place would know who Billy Graham was. Well, you got to see the fame of Samuel at this time period to Israel. He was the prophet, the Lord, that it said not one word ever fell to the ground. If he said it, God backed it up, because God gave it to him to say. So he had, his face was known, and if you come to the place of sacrifice as they had to do, his face was known. So I find it interesting that goes back to Saul's family, to his daddy and all of that situation. But you see, God doesn't call us about our mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa. He calls us about us. Amen? Aren't you glad? And so here he is. He's looking face to face, and he doesn't even recognize it. You know how many times you and I have been in a service here, and the Spirit of God is moving, and God is speaking to somebody, and people get up and they walk out, and they don't even recognize that it's the Lord? It's happened more times than I can count, just since we've been here. And you feel so sorry for them. So, but it's up to you and I to be in a place and a position where we give what God has us to give, and then that's all you're responsible for. So don't be discouraged. Don't be down. Just do what God tells you to do. And if they see it, great. If they don't, we just pray. Amen? All right. Now, verse 19. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me in the high place where you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go. Now notice this. He said, and will tell thee all that is in thy heart. Oh, this morning, I want you to know there's more in your heart than you understand. There is more in your heart than you could even believe. Because see, when you got born again, the complete plan and the will of God was distributed in your spirit. And the gifts and the calling of God came upon your life, came upon my life. And as you and I start renewing our mind, as we start walking in the will and the obedience of the Lord, all of a sudden, there's flashes that'll come to us that we understand, and that we grab those and we start walking in them. But what Samuel is saying is, he's saying, I'm going to take you out of your small thinking if you'll listen to me. I'm going to show you what God has for you. I'm going to show you what's already in your heart. Amen? See, I was talking to Donna about this. You know, I knew it, when we started going to church and got saved and started teaching Sunday school, I knew that there were some things that God was wanting us to do that I didn't want to look at. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to, but at times when I would be more in the Spirit, that we'd be driving around and I'd see a little church. And in my small thinking, because I knew what was coming, I would think, you know, that might be small enough. I might be able to do that. That might be remote enough. That might be out of the way enough. And see, all of those things. Because why? Because inside my heart was the DNA that God had placed there of His will and His plan. Inside of my heart, even though my spirit knew it, but my soul didn't want to accept it, and my body said, I'm going to run from it. Come on, amen? All of these things. But it was in there. And so I want you to know that you are spirit-speaking spirits. See, you worship God in spirit and in truth, amen? And you're born again by the Spirit of God that is in your spirit. And when you speak, it's a creative force when you say what God has for you. And so here, the prophet is calling Saul out of limitation. And he says, he gives him comfort, verse number 20. He says, and as for thine asses, thy donkeys, he says, that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel, is it not on thee, and on thy father's houses? Now think about this just for a second. The prophetic word for him was, if you're going to terminate your tiny thinking, if you're going to come into the fullness of what God's already placed in your heart, he said, I want you to stop thinking about donkeys, and I want you to think about dominion. See, we can be limited by our thinking if we keep thinking in the natural. He said, I want you to, King James, I want you to stop thinking about asses, and I want you to think about ascension. He wants to raise us up. Amen? And he wants us to see that God has better things for us. He has better things for you. That is what? To be a soul winner. To be a life changer, to be an influencer. You and I, we can influence this community. We can show the love of God. You and I, we can meet the needs, because it's not us. We're serving an unlimited God. God's going to open up doors for us, and we're going to have the food to give to people. We're going to have the clothes to give to people. We're going to have the ability to clothe them, because Jesus said, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, amen? He said, go visit those who are in prison. Doors are opening in the name of Jesus. You and I are going to walk through by the glory of God. He's going to get all the glory. And it's the plan, it's the destiny, but we've got to work together. Okay. Now notice, back to our text, and Saul answered and said, this is the worst thing you and I can do. We hear a word from the Lord. If you can't come in agreement with the word, if you can't talk out of your spirit, then ask the Lord to seal your mouth. So many times I've just had to just not say anything. Because if I said anything, it would undo what God was trying to do. Because my flesh is saying, no, big boy. And my mind is saying, no way. I'm not going that way. I'm comfortable right here. How many knows that Saul had rather been going looking for donkeys? Because why? All he's got to do is do what Daddy says. That's easy. But when we got to step out and we got to figure it out, what God would have through us, I mean, that the responsibility is shifted to us. Amen? All right. Now, here's what God wants you to see, and He wants you to get it in your heart this morning. Now, you have to hear this by the Spirit of God, because it argues with everything about the natural. And Samuel took Saul and his servant, and he brought them into a parlor. He made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. In other words, this is the 30 top people of Ramah, Zup, but in the province of Ramah there, of his hometown. Now, I mean, this is it. He's been on this 3-day journey. I'm sure he don't smell good. He's not dressed for this. But you see, God qualifies you. It's not what you look like, what you smell like in the natural. It's what you smell like and look like because God's shining his light on you and through you. Amen. Can you imagine this? Now, he brings him to this place and he gives him the high seat. Remember, this is New Testament, if you don't think it is. Jesus talked about the Pharisees and he said, you desire the most choice, the top seat. He said, but what happens when somebody more deserving walks in and you get moved to the back? He said, no, you humble yourself and you sit in the back and the Lord will what? He will pull you to the front. Listen to me, by the Spirit of God, God is fixing to pull you to a place you've never been before. He's fixing to open a seat for you that you never dreamed possible. And in that seat, he's going to get glorified. In that seat is going to come promise and provision of the anointing of God that'll bring the will of God to pass like never before. Amen. You've got to believe it. I've got to believe it. Let's terminate tiny thinking and let's get into that. Okay. Now, look what he said, just to make sure you get it. Verse 25. This is after he fed him with the priest offering. We don't have time to look at that. But verse 25. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Now, we could get into some things there, but we won't. And they rose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day, the daytime, and Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid thee servant to pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of the Lord. There's some things that you and I got to get along with God with. And there's some things that people are not going to be able to hear what God's saying to you. They're not going to understand it. And so God, he gives Saul the option here. Saul could have had his servant to stay, but the word wouldn't have come. See, it's the obedience and the little things that brings the revelation of the full picture of God for the moment by moment. Amen? And so, now, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God, and I'm not getting in anybody's life or whatever, but I know as sure as you're looking at me and I'm looking at you, there is somebody in this service this morning that God is wanting to show you something that you've never seen before, but you're going to have to tell your servant to go on by. You're going to have to get out of a situation, a circumstance with somebody. I don't know who it is. It's none of my business. I don't know what it is. All I'm telling you is that God has some great things, but you just need to obey Him. Just follow that little, small, still voice that'll lead you in a great place, and you're going to hear a word that you'd otherwise will not hear. Amen? Okay. Now, look what happens. He shows him the word. First Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, and he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance, to be the first king? Now, I want you to think about some things here. I know we don't have time, but you're God's inheritance. Yes. Woo! That makes me feel good, don't it, you? Yes. Through Jesus Christ. But I want you to see, because he told the servant to go on and he obeyed the word of God, that Samuel was able to pour the oil. The anointing came. And when the anointing came, look what happened. He kissed him. In other words, he sealed it with a kiss. He sealed the reality of this covenant. And when he did, he said, the Lord has appointed thee to be kept. In other words, he spoke the word to him then under the anointing. Now, this is critical that you move forward in this. When he told him the first time, he talked out of his head. He talked out of his limited thinking. But now, he has the opportunity to talk out of the anointing. Because, see, he poured the oil on him. He kissed him. He sealed the covenant. And then he gave him the word again. You're going to be the captain. You're going to be the king, the first king. And so now, in other words, that is gone. That other mistake is under the anointing. And so what you and I have got to see, if we'll just hold on to what God reveals to us, He'll empower you to be able to accept it and to walk in it. Amen? That's why, just don't say nothing. Just wait, and God's going to, He's going to do the work. Okay. Now, I encourage you, you study this 10th chapter and you see how that Samuel gives Saul a prophetic word about every step that he's going to walk out. And as he gave him that prophetic word, they were like signposts in his life, bringing him to that place of obedience. In other words, when the things that God is going to start revealing to you and I to do, He's going to give you signposts. He's going to give you a position of where you're at. It's going to be like a GPS in your life. You can go, okay, I'm right here. This is what God said. He's confirmed this part. Now I know I can go on to the next. And that way you won't get lost. You won't get discouraged. You're not going to make any mistakes, no matter what the devil says, okay? And so he led him through that, and everything he said had come to pass. Real quickly, look at verse number 7. This is what he said to him, and then we're going to jump back and read verse 6. He said, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto you, that thou do as an occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." In other words, he said, when you see these signposts, when you see the word of God being meant and completed, he said, make sure that you act on what you saw, because God's with you. In other words, you fulfill what you see right now. You do everything at this stop, and then you're ready to go to the next one, because the Lord your God is with you. Amen? And why do you know that you can be in a place of doing things differently? Jump back up and let's read verse 6. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man," another person. See, when God gives you the anointing to say what God says, it's a creative force. And see, that from that day on, there was a proverb that went among Israel, and the proverb was, "Is Saul among the prophets?" Because he prophesied, he said what was in his heart. See, when you and I get in that place where the revelation comes and we come from signpost to signpost and we start talking about what's in our heart, it releases what God wants to do next. See, there's so many people, they're stuck. They're stuck at point A, and they know that God has something better and something greater for them, but they won't talk what they saw. They won't speak it out. That's me in the past, hindered, limited by my small thinking. Say what God is showing, and it will release you. It will take you to that next place. Amen? And people's going to say what God says about you. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just have to quit. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that there is an anointing in this place this morning as we respond to your word to terminate tiny thinking. I thank you, Lord, that you, the master, capital M-A-S-T-E-R, wants to be the master of our life. And if we will let you be our master of our thinking will be mastered by none of the things of this world, no limitations, but it'll be under you. It'll be in you. It'll be by you. And your will come to pass in our lives and through our lives. Father, I thank you for this season. I thank you for this moment. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show each one of us where we're at, and the anointing is going to come upon our lives, and we're going to be able to speak out between you and us, Lord, the very prophetic word, the very revelation, the creative force that will take us to that next place in you, and we praise you for it. Lord, right now, let every person here, let them be encouraged, let them be strengthened. Lord, let just the anointing that abides in them, let it join with the anointing that is falling, and let them come together, and let there be a truth of liberty, of revelation, that will inspire and cause us to be motivated to do what you'd have us to do in these last days, to change all of our world. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I thank you that you're turning me into another person. I thank you that you're showing me where I'm at, but you're giving me the ability to speak out and to create that next stop, that next place. I thank you that you're changing me into another person. I'm not what I once was, and I'm not going to stay the same even today, but I'm going to be changed moment by moment by moment. Would you come this morning, make yourself an altar, and be expecting. Be expecting. I'm telling you, you are a soul winner. You are a love giver. You are a feeder of the Word of God. You are a representation that presents a risen Savior, the reality of a Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Fall down upon the ground, press my face against the earth, till my heart rises over my head. As the wheat it bows down low in the autumn wind blows, I kneel before the one I love. I find me great.